Thank you all for coming out again tonight. Extend Christian greetings to each one. Before I get started here, I just want to mention, if you all wouldn't mind praying, my family will be traveling out tomorrow, and Lord willing, they'll be with us tomorrow night. Pray for their travel safety. My children will stay around for tomorrow night into Friday, and then they'll head back home again. My wife will be staying. So if you want to meet my children, that's tomorrow night. So pray for them as they travel. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again this evening, we're here to open up your word. We're again looking to you, Father, that by your Holy Spirit, you would make the word very practical and very clear to every one of our hearts. We know that the Holy Spirit is able to do it, even making it practical, that even the children can grab a nugget of truth that will guide their hearts as they find themselves growing up in an environment like this. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would honor your word tonight, just as it says, you said in Isaiah, your word will not return to your void, but it will accomplish that which you intended it to. We believe that, and so we just simply are going to open up your word and allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me to each one of our hearts, and we are going to look forward to the work that you will do in our hearts. So bless your word. Multiply the loaves and fishes. I pray for 12 baskets left over. Each one of us could take it and pass it on to others. Bless our evening, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It has been said, a religion which does not make a man kind is not our Lord's religion. A religion that doesn't make a man kind is not our Lord's religion. Colossians 3:12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I don't know what you think, young men. I don't think there's a lot of room for macho in the Christian life. If a religion does not make a man kind, it's not our Lord's religion. Those that are in Christ, those that have been born again, those who are filled with the Holy Ghost, those that are walking in the Spirit, those who are not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, they should be the most peaceful, loving, kind, compassionate people on the face of the whole earth. Now, why is it? That doesn't always hold out. I mean, there's some very religious people aren't very kind. They're not very compassionate. Men and fathers who do not have bowels of compassion. Christianity produces true courteousness or politeness. It does not make one rough, crabby, or sour. Nor does it dispose its followers to violate the proper rules of social contact. The secret of true politeness is benevolence, or a desire to make others happy. And a Christian should be the most polite of people. There is no religion in sour, misanthropic temper. There is no religion in rudeness, stiffness, and repulsiveness. None in violating the rules of good breeding. There is a hollow-hearted politeness, indeed, which the Christian is not to aim to or to copy. His politeness is based on kindness, as we saw in Colossians 3:12. His courtesy is to be the result of love, goodwill, and a desire of the happiness of all others. And this will prompt to the kind of conduct that will render his conversation with others agreeable and profitable. Now, what I just said and read, that's enough of homework. If we took that I could close the meeting now if you would promise to take that and live it out tomorrow. And the community wouldn't know what happened. The community wouldn't know what happened. Now, if America is, quote, a Christian nation, and I know, quote, a Christian nation, shouldn't then we be the kindest and most caring people? Shouldn't it be the norm? Shouldn't it be normal that people are kind and caring? But you know, tonight, that is not the case for everyone. You know, there are some growing up tonight in an environment that is hostile. There are little children growing up, and all they know is harshness, cruelty. And as far as they're concerned, it's normal. It's normal. And if you were to talk to them about people who really love each other and care about each other, it would be abnormal. They wouldn't know how to relate to it. They are living in a total different world. To them, it's normal behavior. So I ask the question tonight, what is normal? What is normal? And I title my message tonight, What is Normal? Because what really gets scary, what really becomes a concern, is how far a person will go who is not vitally connected with God. As we're going to see in just a moment, the most tender and delicate and sensitive person outside of the will of God can turn into someone who is harsh and cruel and unsympathetic. Turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 28. We're going to read a number of verses there, and I want you to hang on to your seats because it is, what's the right word? It is very plain. And I think we can be discreet enough with it that our children will be okay. But we got a number of verses here, and I just want to show you how far sin can actually take a person. How far a person can actually go who is not vitally connected to the Lord. We are looking at Deuteronomy chapter 28, and we're reading from 52. Actually, I think I wanted to bump it up a little. Verse 47. In verse 47 here, we have the consequences for disobedience. From verse 15 on, it's talking about if you're not going to obey the Lord, then all these plagues and problems will come your way. And so we're just breaking in here. But a very interesting verse in Deuteronomy 28, 47, it says, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst and nakedness and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. Now I want us to remember, as we continue reading here, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness, with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things, let's look where this thing leads to. In verse 49, it says, the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. He shall eat the fruit of thy cattle, the fruit of thy land, until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or increase of thy kind, or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons, of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee. so that, listen to this, so that the man that is tender or sensitive among you and very delicate or very refined, his eye shall be evil. He shall be hostile toward his brother, toward the wife of his bosom, and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave, so that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom she shall eat. Because he hath nothing left in the siege, in the straitness wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in all thy gates. The tender, that's the sensitive and delicate, refined woman among you, which would not venture to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for her delicateness and tenderness, her eye shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, toward her son, toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet. My friends, that's the placenta. And toward her children, which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and straitness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful or extraordinary, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. I didn't know if I wanted to read that tonight. But it's the truth. Can you imagine? You choose the most refined and sensitive man in the bunch. Can you imagine him getting to a place where he would actually eat his own children and wouldn't share it with his brother and his wife and the other children? That is just appalling. And not only that, what about a young lady who is sensitive and refined? So sensitive and refined, so scared of dirt and germs that she hardly dares set the sole of her foot on the ground lest she gets dirty. If she isn't willing to obey and follow the Lord, look where it goes to. To a point, she will hoard it to herself and she won't even share it with her husband and her brothers and sisters. A person disobedient to God or a man outside of Christ can and does make animal out of the most delicate person. Cannibalism is completely unnatural, my friends. It is complete. What is normal? Cannibalism is not normal. It is not normal. The delicate person was sinning, and when difficulties came, they did not repent and look. And I tell you, my friends, look at the horrible depth that these people went to. Actually, it happened. It actually happened. If you read in 2 Kings chapter 6, why don't we turn there? You might not believe it actually happened. It happened. 2 Kings chapter 6, 24 to 30. 2 Kings 6, 24 to 30 came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his hosts and went up and besieged Samaria. There was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for fourscore pieces of silver, fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king!" And he said, "If the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press?" And the king said unto her, "What aileth thee?" And she answered, "This woman said unto me, give thy son, that we may eat him today. We will eat my son tomorrow." So we boiled my son, did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, "Give thy son, that we may eat him." And she hath hid her son. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes, and he passed by upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. It happened. It actually happened. I'd also like to read a little bit, and I got this out of the book of Josephus. He was the historian that gave us a lot of information that happened at AD 70. But here's an illustration, and it's related by Josephus. It said a woman whose name was Mary that lived beyond Jordan. This lady, Mary, was illustrious for her decent and riches. And she fled with the multitude to Jerusalem when besieged, carrying with her her substance and what food she could get that were left to her by the spoilers, where being pressed with famine, she took her sucking child, killed it, boiled it, ate half of it, and then laid up the rest and covered it. And when the seditious party entered the house, they smelled it, demanded her food, threatening to kill her if she did not deliver it, which when she brought forth, declaring what she had done, they were struck with horror, to whom she said, "This is my son. This is my own deed. Eat, for I have eaten. Be not more tender or softer than a woman, and more sympathizing and more pitiful than a mother." All the ideas that this prophecy of Moses conveys are to be met with this account, as of a woman well-bred and delicate, reduced to the utmost distress, wanting all necessaries of life, killing her tender infant, a sucking babe, eating it secretly, laying it up, the rest covered for another time. If Moses had lived to have known the fact committed as Josephus did, he could not have expressed it well in stronger and clearer terms than he has done. This is a most amazing instance of prophecy delivered out 2,000 years or more before the fact was done and of the exact accomplishment of it. It's horrible. That is horrible. Proverbs 12:10 says, "A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel." There was a teacher not that long ago that decided she's going to do a show and tell in her school. And she told all the pupils that on such and such a day, we're going to have show and tell. So the day came and all these children were excited. They brought their things for show and tell. And one after the other, they showed and told about something. The last one was a little girl. She came out of a very broken home. She showed and told how her mother killed her boyfriend, in detail describing the fighting that preceded the killing, showing the very bullet that killed the boyfriend. Now, the teacher said the hardest thing was not to calm the children after hearing the horrific story. But she said the most difficult thing she had is to convince this child that this is not normal life. This is not normal. Amazing. Satan is deceiving this world into believing that violence and hatred and killing is normal. My friends, it's not normal. It's not normal. Don't think for a minute it's normal. In eternity past and in eternity future, there has and will be no killing, hating, stealing. It's just in this short era of time of sinful mankind that this stuff goes on. And I tell you, in light of God's plan for man, this is not normal. In the garden, no animal killed another animal. There was no death before the fall of man. So if you don't like all the horrible stuff that's going on, take responsibility, my friend. It's because of my sin. No, I didn't eat of the tree as Eve did or as Adam did, but it's because of my sin. Their sin, my sin, same thing. If I've been in the garden, I don't know how long they lasted. Did they last 1 day, 5 days, 10 days, 3 years, 10 years? I have no idea. I'm going to guess, knowing my nature, I would have ate of the tree right away. Man has chosen to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the result? Man has and continues to choose their own way, and somehow we're being convinced it's normal. We're being convinced it's normal. I want you to look at a passage in 2 Timothy that, if you might just say, well, this is Old Testament. Let's look at a passage in 2 Timothy and chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, starting at verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be, and look what kind of men we have here. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Well, that's not so far from us. But now let's look at the next verse. And I think verse 2 precedes verse 3. And I wonder sometimes if verse 3 is not the consequences of verse 2. I think if we are lovers of our own selves, and we're covetous, and we're boasters, and we're proud, and we're blasphemers, and we're disobedient to our parents, and we're unthankful, and we're unholy, this is what's going to happen. Without natural affections. It's not normal anymore. There's something wrong now. These people have changed. Without natural affections, truce breakers. That's irreconcilable. Truce breakers. False accusers, slanderers. Incontinent, without self-control, fierce, that's brutal, despisers of those that are good. Verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Tonight, I want you to listen up. I'm going to refer to God's will and design and desire for mankind as normal. I'm going to refer to this world and the result of sin as abnormal. Now, of course, as we look around the world, we would say, well, killing is normal. It is not normal. It is not God's will. It was not God's design. It is because of man's sin. And God wants us to understand what is normal. And God wants us to live within the normal. When I say it is not normal to kill in our world, it is. But in God's economy, it is not normal. Sin has brought these things into our world, and it is not normal. If it's outside of God's perfect plan, well then, we then dare not expect it to be normal. Let's look at this. My friends, even the world is groaning. The world is groaning to be delivered from this bondage of corruption. Romans 8:20, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. All of creation is groaning. We got famines, we got earthquakes, we got mudslides, we got hurricanes. There is death. Animal eat animal. There's wars, there's destruction, and the whole world is groaning to be delivered. But not only the world, but it says here, we ourselves groan to be delivered. When we hear of another suicide bomber blowing himself up in the airport terminal, we groan, oh God, deliver us out of this abnormal world into the normal world of heaven. When we hear of the persecuted church, those who stand true to God and allow their heads to be lopped off for the kingdom's sake, we groan to be delivered from this sin-cursed world. When we hear of another soul who's made in the very image of God himself, will do the abnormal, unthinkable, and take his own life, we groan, oh God, to be delivered from this world. When we hear of another law that takes more of the freedom of religion away from those who are living a quiet and godly life, only wanting to raise their family in peace as they try to win a few souls, we're groaning to be delivered. And my question tonight, are you groaning? Are you groaning? It is not normal. Though we see it all around, this is not normal. Never get used to it. You know, the devil is out to make us calloused. The devil is out to make us calloused. One once said, sin has ruined men, ruined women, ruined angels. Sin has occasioned every tear of sorrow, every sigh of grief, every pang of agony. Sin has withered everything that is fair, blasted everything that is good, made bitter everything that is sweet, dried up springs of comfort, rolled far and wide tides of sorrow. Sin has digged every grave, built every coffin, woven every shroud, and enlarged every cemetery that the world has ever seen. Listen to the words of Jesus. He also groaned. And of course, he knew better than anyone the future. The future. There as he was at the cross and the people were following him, he turned to the crowd. It says there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, probably AD 70, just what we read about that woman. The days are coming in which they shall say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear, the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done to the dry? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Groaning over this world, 2 Corinthians 5, 1 to 4, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly. Groaning is an inward, unexpressed feeling of sorrow. For in this we have this inward, unexpressed feeling of sorrow, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, if so be that being naked we shall not be found. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. We see the apostle writing here, and I believe he was a man of groaning. My question tonight is, are you groaning? He was wanting to be released from these earthly bodies that are subject to sin and sickness and temptation, wanting and desired to be fitted with our heavenly bodies, free from this world, free from the sin of this world, free from the frailty of the human fleshy body. Do we groan, and are we groaning? Well, it's a good chance we may not be delivered out immediately. We don't know. Just a word here before we move on. Turn over to 1 Peter. What are we going to do in the meantime? Occupy till I come, Jesus said. This messed up world, this abnormality that men and women are living in. 1 Peter 2, verse 11. It says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, and definitely we feel like strangers and pilgrims, says, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. There's our answer. In the meantime, live such a godly life, free from the world, free from the lust of the flesh that wars against the soul. Live an honest, upright life among the Gentiles, that when they are visited, I don't know if that would be the Holy Spirit speaking to them, someone passed out a tract, something like that. They had a dream at night. All of a sudden, they will say, you know, I know of some real Christians. So let's live real Christian's life. Today, we want to look at it. Sin is not normal. Killing is not normal. Divorce is not normal. Today, you can name any sin. It is not normal. But we tend to accept it as normal because too often it is all we ever knew. From God's perspective, once again, it's this only this little slot of time, this little slot called time, that there is sin. There won't be sin. There wasn't sin before. There will not be sin after. We find ourselves groaning to be delivered from this old world as if it were a ship that is slowly sinking. Oh, to be delivered. This world system, whom Satan is the head of, is doing everything it can to make us, yes, even us, calloused, to start calling that which is abnormal, normal. My question is, will God be able to use your life to put to silence the ignorance of foolish men? We're going to still have animals killing animals. We're going to still have famines and wars and earthquakes and troubles and trials. But we can, by God's grace and mercy through the Lord Jesus Christ, be delivered from this curse of sin. Sin does not have to reign in our mortal bodies. And I asked you, my friend, will you stand with me against the rest of the world? We do not consider all this corruption as normal. We will not say this is the way it is. We can be delivered from this corruption of sin. Romans 6:6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, does this mean that we probably will never sin? It simply means that the propensity of sin has been broken, and we hate it, and we shudder at it. So tonight, we'd like to look at a number of things. Satan is out to desensitize using the world system, and the world system is set up to desensitize you and I. And my concern tonight is that we don't start calling normal what is abnormal. Let's not start calling normal what is not of God, but of this world. There's an attitude that floats around. Everyone else is doing it. So what is wrong with this? You know where that thing's going to get us? Just because everyone else is doing it does not mean it's right. So don't ever judge a situation, never judge a decision by the amount of people that are doing it. Satan is out to desensitize us. This world system is out to desensitize you and I, and if we're going to have God's attitude about this old world, we're going to start needing to groan. We're going to need to stay in His Word. Then and then only will we have the right attitude. Today, the big thing is gun control. The big thing is gun control, and it's probably not hard for any one of us to see that that is not the answer. That is not the answer. I mean, the man who's going to kill is going to get a gun. The thing they're not willing to deal with is the violent videos. I heard of this man one day. He had a hard day at work. It really went bad for him. It really went sour for him. He got home and he took all his frustrations out in a video game where he just went on there and he was a shooter and he shot 50 people. And when he was done, he pushed a button and it was all over and he walked away. A couple of weeks later, he came home again and he was angry this time because this thing was running in his blood. He got the gun. He went and shot a bunch of people and he could never shut the button off. Of course, this is before the internet, but in the days that the TV was so prominent, can you imagine, by the time a child turned 16, they had saw 200,000 acts of violence. 200,000 acts of violence. Is it no wonder that the world thinks this is normal? They're being desensitized. It says that by the time a child turned 16, on TV they had saw 50,000 murders. Satan is out to desensitize. But we say, well, that's out there. I'm not so sure that it's out there. I hear that there's some good, well thought of, what I would consider solid Christians, and they're playing with this garbage. They're watching videos and video games that have horror. What do you call it? Violence. They're watching video games that are violent. Video games that promote violence. They're watching videos with violence on them. I'm here to tell you today, Satan is out to desensitize us. He wants us to get to a place where we say, killing's normal. You know, pity one another, it's all normal. Today, if you are one of those who are watching or reading or focusing on anything that makes any glory out of violence, you are in trouble. You are on the downward slope. Go back to 2 Timothy there, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and just read what happens. We need to take a stand against these videos that are coming in among us. Videos that are coming in and our young people are watching, violent video games with horror on them. It's not normal. We cannot consider it to be normal. Parents, I encourage you to have a good filter in place over the reading material and the other things that are seen, that are read, and that are watched. Satan is out to desensitize us. He wants us to get to a place where we call sin normal. One of the things I find very interesting is that our Christian world today is making these stories that you can let your children listen to that have a good moral teaching. I'm just going to mention one of them. I don't know how many here watch Odyssey. Drove in another person's vehicle. They had a CD there with all these downloaded Odyssey stories, and I started listening to them. And after a while, I was like, I would never allow my children to listen to these things. These are live stories you can listen to. You can listen to them on the radio. But in those stories, the young people are presented by the tone of their voice as bold, assertive, and they talk faster than their parents. They talk right over their parents and over older men and women. They get into trouble. You hear no brokenness. You don't even very often hear repentance in their voice. And in the end, it teaches you a good moral lesson. Satan is out to desensitize us. And he wants you to leave these things come into your home, allow your children, and then you wonder, why does my child kind of make me out to be old fogey, old father, he's not caught up with life? I'm afraid we're watching things and following things that is desensitizing us, and so we become to say, well, that is normal. The tone and the attitude that is used is just shocked me. It's given as smart. intelligent, bold, arrogant, instead of the true characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ: humble, meek, quiet. On the other hand, the parents' voices are given as a little more laid back, a little more weak, not so alert. I'm telling you, Satan is out to desensitize us. Again, it's God's will that I, with well-doing, put to silence the foolishness of ignorant men. Our homes are supposed to be a model of God's will, and we may never accept sin as normal. What about harsh words and a condemning spirit and silent treatment and all the other things? I hope none of our children growing up think that's normal. It's not normal. It's normal to have kindness and love and bowels of compassion. It's normal to have love and respect and honor and courtesy and politeness. That's normal. But I tell you, some of our children are growing up in an environment that they think it's normal to fight and argue and bicker. This is not normal. It may never be acceptable as behavior as a child of God. Sibling rivalry. It's not normal. But sometimes it becomes such a part of our homes that after a while we just get convinced, well, everyone else lives like this. I'm telling, not everyone else lives like that. It doesn't have to be. I mean, brothers and sisters, brothers and brothers, sisters to sisters. God's will is that we love each other, that we care about one another, we protect one another, we speak well of one another, we have bowels of compassion. When one is hurting, we hurt. When one is weeping, we weep. When one is rejoicing, we rejoice. That's normal. And it's supposed to be normal in God's economy. Our homes can be, by God's power and grace, the kindest, sweetest place on the face of the earth. It can be a place where everyone loves each other. Everyone is doing good to the other for good and edification. That is normal. My friends, it's abnormal to hold grudges and to despise one another. Well, you might say, well, it's normal in our home. Okay, it's normal in your home, but in God's economy, it's abnormal. It's abnormal. It is called normal by God's standard for married partners to have a good, healthy relationship at all time. It is not normal to hold each other at arm's length. The world has come to a place where they have accepted divorce as normal. God calls it abnormal. I say to you today, never let the world system rub off on us that it is normal to fight some in our marriages. It's not normal. Not normal. And I beg you, parents, you show your children what is normal. God's grace is big enough. God's grace and power is big enough that He can heal our marriage so that there's never an unkind word. He can do it. He wants to do it. Don't allow your children to get married thinking that, well, fighting's normal, so I guess that'll just be a part of my marriage. How is your marriage? Ask yourself the question tonight. How is your marriage? Have you simply settled down to, well, I guess this is just the way it's going to be? One day there was a couple came to my wife and I, and they had terrible marriage problems. Good Christian people, terrible marriage problems. We sat down with them, and the first question I asked the husband, do you feel within your heart that there is any hope for this marriage? And he said, yeah, I think I have hope that things could get better. I asked the wife, do you have any hope of this marriage ever getting better? She says, I have no hope. And besides, she said, I am content to live this way the rest of my life. So she had simply said, this is normal. And I have accepted it as normal. And I am okay to live the rest of my life with shunning my husband. I said to her, according to God's word, you have two choices. You have two choices. One of them is you can love your husband as you're told, as a Christian, love your husband. If you can't do that, the only other choice I have for you is then to love him as your enemy. It is not going to be any different. Either love him as your husband, as a Christian brother, or love him as an enemy. Today, praise God, they have a healed marriage. You know, it is possible, and I'm not here to say whether my children could say it or not. I hope they could. I never heard dad and mom argue. That's possible. That's normal. And if you have not reached that normal, I challenge you today. Put to silence the foolishness of ignorant men who just says that's a part of life. You know, there's another possibility, and that is we may conclude that church problems are just a part of church life. I really don't think my son-in-law would mind. My son-in-law was a part of a church. Not only did the members fight and argue, but even the ministry. A number of years ago, he said, that's it. I'm done with church. I am done with church. But somebody got a hold of him and said, before you make the final conclusion that this is normal, that every church is this way, I want you to visit this specific church. I don't want to. But eventually, after enough of persuasion, he visited the church. And he was appalled. He said, I didn't know that there's churches around where people actually really enjoy seeing each other. They're glad to see each other. They love one another. And you can tell that they really care about one another. And he still marvels today. Can it be? Can we sit in a brother's meeting and talk about some really difficult things and go away without any harsh words? And we truly love each other. But I'm afraid we're giving a picture to our youth. This is normal. I'm here to tell you, youth, that's not normal. That's not normal. It doesn't have to be that way. What is normal is brothers submitting to each other. Submission, laying down my rights for the sake of my brother. This is normal. The Bible talks about unfeigned love of the brethren. Unfeigned. That is no hidden motive. That is true, genuine love for your brother. So before you throw in the towel, it is not normal. Tonight, if you're here and you have been watching porn and you have been reading romance novels, you are taking the beauty and purity of the sexual life, and you are turning a man or a woman into the nature of an animal. If you're here tonight and you're watching porn or you are reading romance novels, you are turning yourself into the nature of an animal. The Satan wants to desensitize you and wants to so take those things, and they will so alter the beautiful purity that God has given you. And he is turning that into the nature of an animal. The opposite gender then becomes only property, something to be used and abused to one's own selfish gratification. I'm here to tell you, it's not normal. It's not normal. And those who are going to follow it are going to destroy themselves, and they will act in abnormality. If you find yourself in bondage to porn, to romance novels, or to any sexual deviation, do yourself a favor, and the sooner the better. Remove yourself and repent. You don't want to go down that road. It will destroy your marriage if you ever get married. It will destroy your marriage if you're married today. You will become, Satan wants to turn you into an animal nature. That's his goal. And so please, do yourself a favor. Remove yourself. Thoroughly repent. Burn all the material. Satan's goal is to take something that's pure and holy and turn it into something depraved and cruel. Satan is out to take God-given faculties and to turn them into the base instinct of the animal kingdom. And that's what that is. That's what it is. Don't think you can get involved in that stuff and escape. There's another thing that is very normal in our society, and that is the undress of a society. You know, this is not normal in God's economy. Genesis 3:7 says, "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and so they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." So what is normal? Shame and the desire to cover. That's normal. Anything other than shame and the desire to cover is not normal. Our world is desensitizing us. Our world is desensitizing us. Today, the minds and heart of the people of the world have become so depraved that has reduced them to the instinct of the base animal kingdom. They have no shame. Shame and the desire to cover is the normal response of the conscience, God-given conscience. Satan wants to desensitize that. The world, of course, is losing it completely, and there is no shame. But the sad thing is, we're slowly going there ourselves. We are slowly going there ourselves. You know, I thought it was interesting. There in the early years of the 1900s, I'm just going to read you a couple of the rules that were in place at that time on the beach. I think it's very interesting. In the year 1900, swimming at Atlantic City. I mean, this is for the public. Swimming at the Atlantic City, for the women required a swimsuit made of 7 yards of material with socks and canvas shoes. That was the law. And I'm afraid that today we've become desensitized, that we are dressing down to a point of shame to even go swimming. In 1907, just 7 years later, because some women went swimming with bare legs, the chief of police made a rule, no socks, no swim. Where did our world go to today? Some of our beaches. 1920, Sarasota, Florida. Police escorted some ladies off the street because of baring the legs. 1940, first time man discarded his shirt in the public. This was considered nude, where now it's considered normal. And today, the church isn't there, but they're going that direction. Men, it's a shame, and it's not normal to show the upper arm and the chest. It's not normal. And the rest of the world's doing it. We're buying into it. We want to wear these t-shirts. We want to roll our sleeves up, sleeveless shirts. One of our churches, I don't know if I call it our churches anymore, but one of our churches, the pastor left about 2 years ago, had a lot of reasons for leaving. But the only reason he gave to me, and I'm sure there was maybe even bigger reasons, but one of the things that was so outstanding was the fact that he said, the men are going to work with shorts on. Shame is associated with nakedness. You know, over and over again in the Old Testament, if somebody was wicked and disobedient, what did God do with the women especially? Uncover their locks. That's what he did. Uncover their legs. That was shame. But today it's not shame anymore. We call it normal. So I ask the question, why do the women make and shift the clothing to also reveal the chest and the upper arms, making the bare legs bare? I'm here to tell you, it's not normal. It is not normal. What is normal is back there in the garden, they saw they were naked and they took fig leaves because of their shame. It is normal to be ashamed of nakedness. I could probably go on with a lot of other things, but I'm just going to let it right there. I am hoping that tonight this whole idea of that which is normal and that which is abnormal will follow you, and that you will say, you know, this isn't normal, and it will make an appeal to your heart if you're caught in it to move into that which is normal. God's desire, God's kingdom. And so if you're here today and you are harsh and cruel and hard to live with and you're merciless, this is abnormal. It's normal to have bowels of compassion. Oh yeah, it's not normal simply because so many of the world is not born again. But we're talking about normal, the way God wants it, the way he would like to see the world today. Those that are born again, those that fight and argue and are harsh and cruel and slander and throw words, this is not normal. Normal is to be kind and compassionate and caring and loving and wanting my brother to exceed and doing everything I can to make him exceed, taking the hard road so everyone else can take the easy road. That's normal. If you're here tonight and you are watching violent video games, playing violent video games, watching anything with violence on it, please, it's not normal. Burn it, repent of it. If you're watching porn or if you're reading romance novels, burn them. It will turn you into an animal nature. That's what it will. Burn it, repent of it. If today you find yourselves living in a home where there is harsh words and condemning spirit and silent treatment, this is not normal. Find the normal. If you're here tonight and you have found yourself in a church and there's not good relationships, I'm here to tell you it's not normal. Don't throw in the towel. Don't throw in the towel, young people. If you're here tonight and you have started to stoop to the idea that, you know, certain parts of nakedness isn't so bad after all. It's not normal. It's not normal. It's abnormal. It's normal to have shame and want to cover. And may God help us. In conclusion, by calling things normal that are not normal, we set ourselves up to destroy ourselves. We need to determine things normal by God's standard, by the Word of God. That is where we find normality. And again, back to Deuteronomy. I just shared that horrible situation to just show you how that people have taken something so abnormal and actually accepted it as normal. And so there is that possibility that we would do the same things with so many things. That which is so horrific that we would never go there. We start down that road, we may end up there. So what will sin do to us? I want to give you an illustration of what sin will do to us. I want to let this illustration with you. But I understand, I haven't seen it, but in a museum in Athens, Greece, there is a really strange sight in one of the rear rooms. back there, they have two bodies fastened close together by a heavy chain. The body and the chains have petrified and become like stone. How did this work? Well, long ago, when they wanted to punish a criminal, one of the ways they did it is they would take a dead body and chain it fast to the criminal. And this criminal had to carry this dead body everywhere he went. And it was a very slow way to die. Here apparently is one example of someone who had died. They buried him, and in digging up and doing their excavation, they found this, and it's there in the museum to see. I'm here to tell you that if you're going to follow some of these abnormalities, don't think you're going to get away. Like that dead body, it will slowly kill the living body. It will slowly kill the living body. And it's so slow, it must be horrible. So it is when we start calling sin normal. The disease will ultimately destroy us. If you could, let's stand. Let's have a word of prayer.